seeing you all here this evening. So how many of you, from time to time, get on Craigslist and do a little bit of shopping on Craigslist and try to find a really good deal? Anyone in here do that? I am somewhat of a Craigslister. I don't buy a whole lot of things off it, but I do like to, you know, look at cars and shop cars and things like that. And the truth is if you see one that is too good to be true, it's almost always too good to be true. But you still got to make a shot at it anyway. So the other day I was looking at a car on Craigslist, and it was a great car. It was a 2017 car, and they wanted like hardly any money for it. And so I wrote the guy. Whenever I see something like this, I think, okay, this is too good to be true. So I always write a simple question like, has this car ever been in any accidents? You know, and generally, if it's a fraudulent kind of reply, they'll write something back like, I'm selling this car for my grandmother, and if you'll send me your email, then she'll get right back with you. And I thought to myself, right on that. And so I usually write a note back to them, and I talk to them about their character. And I talk to them about, you know, I don't know where you learned this gimmick from. I don't know if you went to a self-help seminar where you learned to collect, you know, email addresses and sell them to advertisers or what this is about, but this is not very honest, you know. And so I kind of talk to them about those character issues and so forth. Or maybe you might talk to someone about something you have for sale, and they'll say, I want your car, or I want this, or I want that, and I'll give you the price that you want, but I'm not in town tonight, but my friend will come by, and he'll bring a check to you, and so on and so forth. And you know right then, oftentimes because of the grammar itself, not that I'm the best grammarian, but generally you can tell by looking at that, okay, this is not right. There's something wrong with this. And so I write them a note back and talk to them about their character. The other Saturday morning, I was over in Boise, and I think I was on Curtis, and I stopped at a stoplight that was kind of an uphill slant like that, and I pulled out behind an older car. Now, I'm one that really I usually don't always trust people in front of me, so I usually give them quite a bit of distance. And as I was sitting there, I was noticing that this guy in front of me was looking in his lap at something, and I thought to myself, he's texting, or he's looking at a text or something like that, and all of a sudden, his car started to roll back toward my car. And he's rolling, and he's getting closer, and I'm starting to panic. So I started honking, beep, 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 and he's not panicking. It keeps rolling. So now I lay on the horn, steady, you know, beep, and the guy rolls right back and smack right in the front of my car. I was just glad it was Lori's car. But anyway, it ran right into my car, and I thought, great, you know, and I was upset, and so I got out of the car to go and see how bad the damage was, because he pulled a little bit forward after hitting me, you know. So he pulls a little bit forward, and guess what happens as I get out of the car and look at the front of my car? The light turned green, and I was out of the car looking at this, and he takes off, and off he goes. So I quickly tried to memorize his license plate number, and I wasn't quite able to get it all the way, and so I tried to follow him, and I thought, well, he maybe ditched me, and well, as it came to, I never did catch up with the guy, I never did find out what the license plate number was, and the damage wasn't even a little bit on the front of the car, but it was just the idea of it, because it has to do with character. I wish I had his email. I would have sent him some thoughts about his character. Character is just so important. By character, I mean your morals. I'm talking about your ethics. I'm talking about your integrity. I'm talking about your spiritual undergirding of who you are. And so who speaks for you when you find yourself having to stand alone and speak for yourself? Who speaks for you? People can give you encouragement. They can talk you up and things of that nature. But sooner or later, you have to stand on your own and you have to speak for yourself. And one of the things that speaks most loud for you when you before other individuals is your character. If they know what your character is about, it rests on truth, it reinforces life, it resists the temptation to compromise or to give in. Remember when Jesus found himself under the stark lights of the Sanhedrin, and they are trying him, and as they are questioning him and as they are mocking him, it says that he stood silent as a lamb before his shears, and he did not open up his mouth. He never said a word, and yet he spoke so loudly because of his magnificent character that shined forth for those who love him and know him and have watched his life. It's like a lion in the shadows. A lion in the shadows is a lion that is strong, it's resilient, it's controlled, it can be fierce, and that's what Jesus was like. In fact, when you get into the scriptures, you'll find a lot of people who are like lions in the shadow. Strong, so strong individuals. So much resilience of who they were. They knew who they were. They had this moral integrity, this ethic about them that made them shine forth as great lights. And if you were to stop and think about people who influenced you in your life, they're probably people of character. It might have been a teacher. Could have been a coach of some kind. Maybe a parent. Maybe a grandparent. Maybe it was a boss that you had, a neighbor. Maybe it was a preacher. You can recall the times that their integrity and their ideas or ideals spoke of who they were and what kind of people they really were. And in many ways, they were the ones that have set our minds. They're the ones who have cast a mold that we try to take and try to take on ourselves and allow them to mold us to be that kind of character as well, because we see them and we marvel at them and we say to ourselves, I want to be like that one day. I remember listening to Ed Wharton preach years and years ago when I was just a very young man, and I heard Brother Wharton preach a series of lessons, and I was just so amazed by his lessons. He was preaching on the historicity of Jesus, but it was more than just his lesson. There was a character that just shined through on those lessons, and I thought to myself as I sat there, you know, in the church, we don't raise our hands, you know, or anything like that, and I remember almost having to set on my hands. I was so excited about what he was having to say to us, and I thought to myself, man, if I ever became a preacher, I'd like to preach like that. Now, obviously, I don't preach like Ed Wharton. If you've ever heard Ed Wharton, he is incredible. Some of you probably knew Ed Wharton as he has become an older man. I knew him when he was a young man and when he was a lion and was incredible as a pulpiteer and so forth. But there was a character about him, and he trains people and trained people way in. Does he still train? Is he still at school? Man, I mean, I think he got kind of cantankerous there at the end. But there was something incredible about that individual. And so this evening, I just want to talk to you a little about the question of character and just look at some lasting legacies of the greatness of character. And so I've called them lions in the shadow, because they're men that most of the world would look at and would not think much of. But as we look at them and as we examine their character, they become those who stand out before us. First of all, when you talk about greatness of character is found only in people. It's not found in animals. It's not found in things created or anything of that nature. It's found in human beings who are created after the image of God. That's what separates us from everything else. His morality, his standard, his integrity, his character flows into our lives. We're the only ones that were created and built with that capacity to be that kind of individuals. We were created after the image of God. Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 through 27 says that. And to end that character reservoir, God pours glimpses of himself into us in terms of justice and honesty and what virtue is about. Consequently, as the saying goes, if you would understand virtue, observe the conduct of a virtuous person. We'll not discover virtue in nature. You can't discover virtue in technology. You can't find virtue in material wealth. But character is a product of the human soul that God has built within us to know what's right and wrong, what is good and what is bad. So character is something that is only found in people and in people alone. Number two, character is developed in the proven crucible of pain and difficulties. Show me a person of character and who has a strong character, and I'll show you a person who has went through pain. I'll show you a person who has went through difficulties of life, the storms of life, and have come out on the other end. And when they come out on the other end, they came out much stronger than before. When you look at James, the first chapter, you get that very idea where James says there are verses 3 through 5. Actually, if we were to start with verse 1, there he says, James, a bondservant of God, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He's talking about building character here, is what he's talking about. Perhaps you're going through the crucible of pain. Your first thought is that when life gets tough, you want to run away from it. But sometimes to stay in the midst of it and allow it to grow you is sometimes the necessary, and sometimes that's your only option. Maybe you're having difficulties at work. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe there is a stress of a storm that is about. Maybe it's some kind of physical ailment that you are going through. Maybe a relationship is on the rocks. All kinds of those things can really challenge us, but can any good come or emerge from that kind of a difficulty? And I would say to you, yes. And I wouldn't say to you yes because of who I am, but because of what the Scriptures say. The Apostle Paul over in Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 36 and following, said these words, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice what he says. Tribulation that brings about perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. So when we go through difficulties, there is a character that is created. And like I said, naturally we tend to want to run from it, but really, maybe we should just address the fact that it's there. Because who of us can decide that we're going to escape to an island and think that tribulation will not come our way? I think it was one of Job's friends that said to him, for a man is born of trouble as sparks fly upward. That means there's going to come trouble in our lives. There's going to come difficulties in our lives. Count all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Not if you encounter various trials, when you do, they're coming. If they're not there, they will be there. But they can be used in the positive sense of the world. In other words, there's no golden ticket to a trouble-free life. For centuries, philosophers have recognized this truth. For instance, Seneca. It is a rough road that leads to the heights of greatness. Goethe. A talent is formed in stillness, a character in the world's torrent. Stendhal. He wisely added, one can acquire everything in solitude except character. Franz Delitzsch. He explains the passage this way, misfortune does not grow out of the ground like weeds. It is rather established in the divine order of the world as it is established in the order of nature that sparks of fire should ascend. So rather than escaping, better the plan is to meet the hardship head on and to grow out of the hardship, because that's where you find what kind of character you are. You find out what kind of person you are, what kind of person you are made of. Even Jesus, the Son of God, was not exempt from this. Over in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 8, Jesus himself is our model. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Thirdly, character is not something that is quickly acquired. It's different than how we do things in our world. I mean, in our world today, we get on the internet and make an order with Amazon, and Amazon fast tracks it to us, and we can get it overnight if you want to pay the money for it, or you'll get it within 3 or 4 business days. But it comes pretty quick when you think about it. But when it comes down to a great character, it's not a mail order commodity. It's not shipped overnight express. We can't expect it to arrive at our doorstep neatly packaged with no assembly acquired. It's just the opposite of that. We find ourselves having to deal with these things. One of the ways to start is by being raised by good parents. I mean, they may start you in the right direction, and we can start our children in the right direction, but sooner or later, they have to develop their own character. Just like a child cannot have just the faith of his parents, eventually the child has to develop their own faith. Well, it's the same way when it talks about character. They cannot have your character, but they can learn from your character. They can model. They can watch you how you live your life. Anne Frank, who in her journal, she talked about her feelings in the diary while hiding from the Nazis during World War II. She came to understand this truth. In her journal, she wrote a small little paragraph. She said, "Daddy said, all children must look after their own upbringing. Parents can only give good advice or put them on the right path, but the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands." And so we as parents can help our children to build that character, but sooner or later, that character has to be within their own hands. And we'll find out what kind of parenting we did in some of these cases. Number four, it's not necessarily a permanent possession. And all you have to do is look at men who seem to be of high character, only to see them fall like petals from a rose, once standing tall and beautiful in so many ways, and then falling. I think of men like Solomon, who's the wisest man, who said that foreign wives turned his heart away from God. I would like to think that he came back around and that he wrote Ecclesiastes because of that. But I'm not so sure that that happened. Or Saul, the first king, seemed to start off so well, but only to find out that he had feet made of clay. Or Samson, who was a great judge, and yet there were things that were in his life that would cause him to fall. You can probably think of others. You can probably think of Demas and Alexander and Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who once sailed freely as faithful Christians only to fall and to find out that their character had cracks within it. So that's why it's important, especially in today's dry moral climate, to till God's, you know, his values into this our soil early in life, especially into our children's lives in their formative years, because the day will come sooner than you can possibly imagine for them to grow their own character. And we ask the question, will their moral roots, will their integrity, will their ethics, will they run deep or will they be shallow? And in the moment when the hot light of life shines upon them brilliantly, will they fade or will they stay rooted and stay strong because of the things that we have placed within them? For our children's sake and for our own sake, we must emphasize character development. Think about teachers. In our congregation, we have a few teachers. Teachers don't merely just stuff your students' minds with facts and figures. They don't just teach your children how to win. They build character. I look at my teachers that I had in my past, and I saw that they're more than teaching me about reading, writing, and arithmetic, to sound old, but they're building character. When I think about my baseball coaches and football coaches, then I saw men who are teaching me more than just how to throw a pass or how to make a correct tackle or how to run bases correctly or how to throw a ball correctly or how to catch the ball on the right side of my body or things like that. There are men who built character. They built discipline. They built integrity. I remember I had one coach I can't remember his first name because he was Coach Fogarty, kind of a short, squatty guy and so forth, graduated out of Caltech and so forth. And in those days, I had a dirty mouth. So one time I said a dirty word. And he says, Richard, he goes, why don't you just hit the ground and why don't you do me 25 push-ups right now? So I did the 25 push-ups, and 15 minutes later I said the same word again. He goes, well, Richard's got a dirty mouth. So he says, let's all run down there, like a quarter of a mile away down there to a fence and back, the whole team. Well, guess what? He built some character in me because my buddies all said, if you ever say that word again in front of Fogarty, we're going to beat you to death, buddy. And so he was developing character. And so he stopped me after practice, and he talked to me. And he says, Richard, he says, he called me Sutton. He goes, but do you know how often you use that word? It's a disgusting word. You need to get it out of your vocabulary. I'll make you do push-ups until you vomit, until that's gone from you. But you're going to remove that word from your vocabulary. It's a bad word. And he was right. I'm building character. That was, what, I was 17 years old back then. I still remember those words there. So teachers build character. Coaches build character. But if you want to find where character is usually not found in the pages of the newspaper. It's not found on the internet. It's not found in the entertainment industry. But I can tell you where it is found. It's found right here. And here you'll find lions in the shadows. And especially when you get over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, there you'll see many shadows of people who live very faithful lives, who are men of character. You remember the names well if you think about it. In Palestine, If you want to find lions, then you don't go to the hills to find lions. You go to the bush. You go down to the Jordan. And the Jordan says there are lions there. I remember, I think it was Jeremiah said, if you think it's been difficult running with the horses, wait till you are down in the lion with the lions in the bush. There, they're the strong, they're resilient, they're fierce. They're there. And here, this chapter here, you find the bush, if you will. And there you find the lions in the shadows that are living lives that are worth honoring and remembering. You remember the names when you think about it because they're familiar names to us. We read of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. And we read of Sarah and their son Isaac. And you remember his son Jacob and his grandson Joseph. And you remember those names. And you remember names like Rahab, who was a prostitute. Every single one of these individuals were great men. Moses. Moses was a reluctant lawgiver. Every single one of these people were imperfect, just like us. All of them had really super good things, but all of them had a few little cracks that are here and there. But they become great examples because what it tells us is that each exhibited this great character, and if they were able to do that, then so can we. And so if we say to ourselves, well, I haven't always been a person of good character, or maybe I am lacking in some of these qualities that these great men and women had, if so, then consider Moses, who murdered an Egyptian, and then tried to bury him in the sand in secrecy, only to be found out. Or Rahab, who sold her body for money, and yet they... You know, if they could put their past behind them and go on in the race, then that tells me, and it should tell you, that we can do that same thing, that we can travel on as well. Verse 32, you see more thoughts. And what more shall we say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. At this point, he also knows that there's just a list of names. The list of names could go on and on. So he says, by faith they conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weaknesses they were made strong, become mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And the next verses, the tone of the passage kind of shifts. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in tune, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, men destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men and women of the world, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Now, you think about those individuals there who are the lions in the shadows. They'll become great examples of men and women of character that says, listen, you need to stand up and be a model, but sometimes your model is shown in your resiliency and in your strength and in your fierceness to stand your ground, even when the outcome may not come the best for you. Some traits to repeat and how. The writer of Hebrews says rightly that these men and women of whom the world was not worthy, could that be said of us? Could that be said of you? Can that be said of me? If we take our cues from the secular world and the famous peoples whose image, you know, flicker on our television screens, we'll never achieve that goal. And the reason is because the kind of character I'm talking about, kind of virtue I'm talking about, the kind of integrity that I'm talking about, is a God thing. It can only come from God. It's beyond the world's understanding. Some easily forgotten reminders about character. Number one, character tends to flourish in later life when good seeds are planted early. What does that mean? It means train your children and your grandchildren when they're young. Train up a child while he's in his youth, and he'll not depart from it. Now, I know that that's not it's a principle, and I know it's not a hard, fast rule, okay? But when you train your children, that's in their formative years, that's where you are establishing character. That's where you're establishing integrity. and values and virtues and those kind of things. You do it when they are young. And that's why I think Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, teach them when you rise up in the morning, when you walk by the way, and when you lay down at night. Teach them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Teach them to keep the commandments. Do it while they are young. Teach them that good character is what truly matters in life. Listen to this, parents. Teach them that good character matters more than life, than good grades, and by wins and losses in sports. Because character is something that will follow them throughout their entire lives. Number two, character seems more possible in us when we see it modeled in others. The best mentors is not a how to do it book or technique, but life. Find people who are of great character and study their lives and try to imitate their lives. Become students of great people. Read biographies. Choose your heroes like you would choose your closest friends and try to follow those character traits that stand out. Number three, character can withstand hard times if it is cultivated during the days of ease. If you wait to decide you're going to build character when the rains are torrentially coming down on you, then you've waited way too late. Build your character when life is easy. Build your character when the seas are calm. Build your character now so it's with you later on. Character is just so important when you think about it. I was going to talk to you a bit about our president. I like a lot of his policies. I like some of his agendas. I struggle with his character because his character calls everything else into question. And I think in a lot of ways he's a great man. Okay, don't misunderstand me. I think he's a great man in a lot of ways. And I think he's got a lot of great ideas. And I think he'd be hated by half the people no matter who he was. But I wish his character shined forth more. Be men and women of character. If someone rolls into you, if you roll into someone, then you get out and own it. So let me close with this. So one weekday, I can't remember what day it was, one of our members had to go to the hospital. They were there super early in the morning. I think it might have been Don Hilton or something like that, but really early in the morning. And so I got up very early in the morning, and I drove down to St. Luke's, and I pulled into the garage down below, and I parked my truck. And I thought, okay, this is a fairly new truck. I don't want it to get door dinged, so I parked way away from everyone else in a dark place, and I parked it down there. And when I came out after I had done my stuff with the Hiltons and so forth, I came out, and I was walking around my truck, and I looked down, and someone who backed into my truck and pushed the bumper into the left driver's side quarter panel and put a dent in it. Now, with me in cars, I don't care if the dent is this big or this big. A dent's a dent. He put a dent in my truck. Now, that guy, he did it early in the morning. That guy could have just as easily just drove off and said, that's the way it goes. But you know what? He left me a note on his car, on my windshield. And he says, dear sir, I'm sorry that I backed into your truck. You'll notice that there's a dent back there. Here's my phone number. Please call me. I'll take care of this. And so I did. I called them up, and I told them, I'm the guy that you backed into. And he says, no problem. I'll take care of it. And then he said these words. He goes, but you know what? He goes, I was honest with you, and I did told you I did it, and so maybe you could cut me some slack here. And says, if you can fix my dent, you know, but you got to fix the dent, you know, and I appreciate your character. That says something about who you are. So thank you very much. And he took care of my car. So which person do you think I hold in higher esteem? The guy who ran off and left me, or this guy who had character? If you're a Marine, he was a Marine, by the way. And he says, I was taught that. I said, well, you have great character. You have great integrity. He goes, I was taught that as a Marine. I said, they taught you well. Be people of good character. People remember you and appreciate you so much. The lesson is yours. Let's sing. And if you need to respond for some reason, then you'll have this opportunity.